For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
This is J. Harold Smith, and I'm delighted to present to you another telecast of the Radio Bible Hour and speak to you in that name that's above every name, Christ Jesus, our wonderful Lord. For some, this has been a glad day. For others, it's been a sad day. But for all of us, it's been God's day. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our scripture today is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. So while we're singing this number for you, turn and read with us that wonderful portion of the Word of God. And my subject is one that I guarantee you that you've never heard unless somebody stole my sermon, Going to Hell in a Wheelbarrow.
From Newport, Tennessee, located in the heart of the Great Smoky Mountains, this is the Radio Bible Hour telecast, featuring a special musical selection and a message from God's Word by our speaker, Evangelist J. Harold Smith.
Well, I'm a sweet assurance that I know that I know that if it came to dying, that to heaven I'd go. I made my reservation at the foot of the cross. I called upon the Savior, now I'm no longer lost. I found the only way that makes a sinner so clean. For in the blood of Jesus, men can all be redeemed. Eternal life He gave me is the gift that is free. And now I'm walking in Him, and I truly can see.
It's good to be a Christian.
Right by my side, never will forsake me, He will always abide. He's closer than a brother or to my dearest friend, and while I'm on this journey, He'll be there till the end. I've never felt such comfort in my whole life before, and when I'm in the valley, Jesus gives me much more. So hand in hand, I'm pressing onward all the day long, in fellowship with Christ my Savior, singing this song.
It's good to be a Christian.
You a moment ago to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. And I told you that my subject is going to hell in a wheelbarrow. Now you say, Brother Harold, you're just trying to be sensational. Well, you wait until I finish the message, and if you can write me and tell me a more appropriate subject, I'll be glad to receive it. Going to hell in a wheelbarrow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, well, let me just read the verses before that. Here in verse 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And then verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And then listen to that next verse. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now in verse 4, the Bible says, in whom the God of this world. Who is the God of this world? All of you have to say it's none other than Satan. The Bible identifies him as that old serpent, that old dragon, that enemy of God, that enemy of your family and of you. And he is the one that the Bible says here, the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not. That means every one of you sinners have a blinded mind without exception. It doesn't make any difference to me if you're a president of a great college or the professor of math or science. It doesn't make any difference to me if you're the governor of the state or one of the great senators of our great nation. It doesn't make any difference whether you are the richest man in your area. If you are lost, you have a blinded mind to the one thing that can save you, the gospel. Do you remember when I came on the air and have come on the air for all the many years I've been on radio and television? For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? For it, what? The gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's why I'm not anti-Semitic. You know the reason I do not hate Jews? Well, my scriptures, the Holy Bible, most of it was written by holy men of God that were Jews. And the one that I call the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and the one that came into my heart on September the 4th and took a poor, wretched, miserable, hell-bound, lost sinner on the verge of suicide, weighing only 134 pounds and 6 feet tall, and that wonderful, marvelous Savior called Jesus Christ found me. He wasn't lost. I was lost. And he came to where I was. I didn't go to him. He came to where I was. And he forgave me of every sin that I've ever committed. And God has forgotten them. I was telling my driver, Brother Bob Lawson, as we came down today from Newport to bring these messages, I said, Bob, isn't it a wonderful thing that God's forgiven us? But the great thing is that he has forgotten it. If you were to sin against grievously against me or a member of my family, I might forgive you, but it'd linger in my mind until my dying day. But not God. When God forgave you of all of your sins, you may have been a prostitute. You may be a lesbian. And you may have been an adulterer. You may have been the worst drunkard in your area. You may have been the biggest liar in your community. You may have been a thief and would steal everything that came across your path. But when the Lord forgave you and washed you from your sins, listen, he not only forgave you, but he forgot every one of those sins. Now, you say, preacher, what are you and how are you going to apply going to hell in a wheelbarrow with this scripture? Well, the Bible says here, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto him. A wheelbarrow is the most simple, common, cheapest way to ride. There is no mode of transportation as cheap as riding in a wheelbarrow. And there is nothing in all of the world is uncomfortable. It'll shake your false teeth out of your mouth. I mean, brother, it'll shake all of the dandruff out of your hair. I mean, brother, it'll unjoint every joint in your backbone. And I'm telling you, when you get through riding in a wheelbarrow, you'd think you'd played a football game. It's so uncomfortable and cheap. So I'm going to name some cheap sins that's a wheelbarrow of the devil, and you ride in right smack in the middle of it, and the devil's pushing it. pushing it right straight toward hell. You say, Brother Harold, what is the first wheelbarrow? Simple, common, cheap, H-A-T-E. I am looking into the faces of some of you right now, multitudes that hate your wife, that hate your children, that hate your parents. A few weeks ago, in our neighboring village, a 15-year-old boy took an automatic rifle. It shot 13 times and went into the living room where his father was looking at television and shot him 13 times. That boy hated his father. When I stopped to think about the trial of that man that blasted that wonderful building, that beautiful federal building in Oklahoma City, when I think about that, I've been in that building. I had friends that were working there. I had friends that were killed. I preached many, many meetings in Oklahoma City and surrounding area. For 25 years, I lived on the border of Oklahoma in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And I often, about once or twice a month, I'd go to Oklahoma City. And when I heard that of that terrible blast, and I looked into the face of that young man that was charged with that terrible crime, and 158 odd souls were killed, not old men, but fine men, not only ladies and gentlemen, but sweet little children were blasted into eternity. He hated our government. He hated our government. When I think of all of the rebels and all of the things that have been going on in our country where we cannot conquer them, they sit in their secluded places with their rifles and threaten to form a new state, a new republic. I tell you, they hate America. I confess to you that I do not like what's going on in our country. I confess to you that I do not believe in abortion. And all of those that believe in it, and all of those that vote for it, are murderers in the first degree. Every doctor, every surgeon, every nurse that participates, every administrator of a hospital that admits abortion, you are a murderer in the first degree, and you are a murderer of the most innocent of all the human family, sweet little unborn babies. And I believe that every one of you doctors, every one of you nurses, every one of you grandfathers, every one of you mothers, every one of you grandmothers, every one of you fathers, they go and get an abortion. I believe that one of these days, if you get saved and forgiven of that, I believe you're going to meet the finest young man that you ever saw and the finest young lady that you ever met. And that person is going to walk up to you and say, Daddy, I was your son that you aborted. Now I've been raised to full manhood in the family of God. And I believe that beautiful daughter is going to approach you and say, Grandma, why did you let me live? If you didn't want me, so many people out there do, why did you leave me on somebody's doorstep? Why didn't you let me live? I begged you all the way to that abortion clinic. Don't kill me, Mama. Don't kill me. And when that doctor took those instruments, you thought I didn't feel it. But Mama, I did. And if you don't believe it, you turn over there in the Bible where Mary, the mother of Jesus, came into the presence of Elizabeth, the mother of John. And John was 6 months old in his mother's womb. And the Bible says that little John leaped when he came into the presence of Jesus Christ and his mother. Well, you say, every little child leaps in its mother's womb. Yes. But you read on, and the Bible says, leaped for J-O-Y, joy. Think of that. That's what the Bible says. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what anybody says. I'll tell you, that little fetus is a life. And the Lord knew that little fetus before it was ever conceived in that mother's womb and named it and knew whether it was a boy or a girl and knew what he could accomplish, but you murdered it. You killed it. And brother, that's hate. H-A-T-E in all of its ugly shape and form. And then the second cheap way to ride to hell in a wheelbarrow is to hold in your heart not only hate, but a lie that you tell on some innocent man or woman. There's been many a preacher ruined and wrecked by some woman that hated him. And then, brother, she gave a false report on him, said he made a pass at her, or he made some suggestive remark, and that man was a man of God and holy and innocent. But that woman's lie cost him his job, cost him his reputation, cost him his profession, caused his wife and children to leave that village and that city in disgrace. I knew a preacher, a holy man of God. He wasn't a Baptist. He was a Church of God preacher, but he was a holy man. He was a man of God and my friend. And a woman told a lie on him, said he came to her door and tried to rape her as a lie. That woman went to an examination and she had the most deadly cancer that is known to man. And the doctor said to her, in 30 days, you're going to be a corpse. And there is absolutely no cure for this cancer, the type of this cancer that you have. She ran to that church. She knocked on the door. The preacher was packing up his books. The church was running him off. And she said, I lied. Preacher, I lied about you. I lied about you. He said, and I want you to forgive me. He said, I will, on one condition. Said, you have some black chickens in your yard, and I want you to go ahead and kill one of them and pluck the feathers, every feather, out of that chicken and put it in a little bag and bring it to me. And she did. And when she came in, he said, now, I want you to go down on the corner of Main and Broadway, and in this March wind, I want you to take those feathers hand by hand and throw them into the air. And then I want you to go back and pick them all up. She said, oh, preacher, that would be impossible. Some of them flew up and on top of those skyscrapers, and others went down in the ditch, in the gutter. It'd be impossible. He said, ma'am, I forgive you, but you've wrecked my character, and there's no way in high heaven that I can ever come into this church and this community and people believe in me. But on her dying bed, she screamed, I'm dying. I'm going to hell. I lied on a man of God. I want to tell you, you better be careful what you say about one of God's men. You better be careful what you say about that godly woman. You better not even by innuendo suggest that she's evil, or God will put a curse on you that you'll never get over. Are you a parent? Are you a father or a mother? Are there sweet little children playing around your feet right now? I could spit in your face. It wouldn't make you as mad as if I walked into your living room right now and pinched one of those little kids, or twisted his ear, or twisted his little arm. You'd come up from there. I mean, you'd come up from there. Your wife would come up from there. And if your papa, your grandpapa was there, and your grandmother, and your cousins, every one of them would lynch me. Now, God loves you, his child, far better than you love your little son or your little daughter, and you say something that's wrong, evil, about one of God's children, and you stir up his wrath, his anger, his judgment, his fury, and his displeasure. And there's no man, no army, no organization that can overcome that awful wrath. A third wheelbarrow that we, most of us, use to ride to hell on is our appetite. Our appetite. Now, the first thing that most of you thought about is my food that I eat. I'm not necessarily thinking about that. I'm thinking about your craving for tobacco, for a cigarette, for a cigar, for a bottle, for a box of snuff, for a chew of chewing tobacco. I'm thinking about you that's got a six-pack of beer in your refrigerator. I'm thinking about you that just Christmas and Thanksgiving and a few holidays, you take your little dram of liquor and your little son 3 years old, is watching you as you drink it. I let a man one night, 86 years old, and to the Lord Jesus. He ran a big store, one of the biggest stores in that town. Not only a department store, but a hardware store. And it was almost like a Walmart store. You could go in there and buy anything you wanted to buy. And the next day I thought I'd go down there and take him by the hand and say, I'm so glad that you came to the Lord last night. And while I was talking to him, he said, Preacher, do you see that cemetery over there? Do you see that tallest monument? I said, yes, sir. He said, that's my oldest son. Said, when he was 3 years old, I'd send him up on the table and give him a spoonful of liquor. And then when he was 14 years old, he was an alcoholic. And when he was 20 years old, he died from his liquor and drinking. His liver failed, and he's in hell. I want to tell you something. You can ride that wheelbarrow of appetite. Some of you want that dope. Some of you want that woman other than your wife. Some of you want that man, and you're flirting around with him, and you've got children, got a wonderful husband, and you're flirting around with him. I tell you, you're riding to hell in a wheelbarrow. When I look here in the Word, I find another terrible, terrible wheelbarrow, and that's a wheelbarrow of indifference. Indifference. You just don't care. It doesn't appeal to you. You say, I don't care what that preacher says. It don't make any difference to me. I'm going to live and do my thing. I don't care what no man says. Your wife begs you to come to God. She prays for you. Your dear old dad and mother have shed a bucket full of tears over the way you're living, but you are indifferent. You don't care. And you're going to ride that wheelbarrow of indifference smack into hell and ride the cheapest way you can go. And then when I stop to think about how that so many of you are indifferent to your soul's welfare, this old body of mine and this old body of yours is going to rot and decay and go back to the dust from which it was formed. But these hands and arms and this head and this body that you see is not really J. Harold Smith. I'm just a house. I'm just a temple. I'm just a tabernacle in which J. Harold Smith has lived since 1910. Now, I can defile it, I can despise it, I can hate it, I can cause it to be ill, I can ignore it, and I'll become an invalid. I can ignore my health, just ignore it, be indifferent to it. I can ignore taking a bath, and I'll become a bum. I can ignore eating, and I'll starve to death. So we just ignore God, who gives us our bread, our blessing, our breath, the very breath that we breathe. And then the last one that I want to need the name is our neglect. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That wonderful salvation that was purchased by God's only begotten Son. That wonderful Savior that died the agonizing death of nails in his wrist, and a spike in his feet, and thorns in his brow. That wonderful Jesus that was beaten at the scourging rack and laid on him 195 licks, blows, and thrust in his death with a spear. That Jesus you're neglecting. Will you say, not now? Tomorrow maybe, but not now. Neglect your salvation and ride that wheelbarrow to hell. God forbid. Our Heavenly Father, please take this little simple message, so simple that little children can understand it, and impress it by the Holy Spirit upon the mind and the heart of all who have heard. And may they turn and not ride that wheelbarrow to hell. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would like to know more about this work, go to the web address on your screen. This is Don Smith, and again, I want to thank you for watching this video today. And may the Lord bless you in every area of your life.